didn't mention, I don't think, a while ago about we're going visiting Saturday morning, and we definitely need some help. So if you come go visit, we've had some real good visits this past week, and the Lord's been blessing our bus route visitation. And it's not just bus route. We just randomly knock on people's doors, go see people that's sick, go see people that needs encouraging. And so come go with us Saturday morning. Me and Brother Dusty over there visited, boy, we visited him two Saturdays in a row, and he came a couple of Sundays ago. And then we've had other people come. We had a whole row of people here the other night that we've been inviting. And so it works. It works. And so come plan on going with us this weekend. Okay. All right. Now, tonight, you know what? I worked all evening. I mean, I've worked hard today. I prayed. I've labored in the Word of God. And I was going to start a lesson tonight that I know is going to take me a couple weeks about since we've been studying about the Holy Spirit. And I grabbed them things for Carrie and walked right out and left every bit of my note at home. So I'm going to do this just strictly by my own memory and hope the Lord will give it to me, at least part of it tonight. So you pray for me tonight. A lot of people, and some of them old timers don't even believe a preacher should use notes anyway. They believe you just get up here and he gives it to you. Yeah, well, it don't work like that. One guy said, I just get up there and the Lord fills my mouth. Now, he might do that once in a while, but you ain't going to do that Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Your church members will be bored out of their mind. He'll fill it with hot air. We studied about the Holy Spirit, and I've got a pen out of my office, and I wrote down a couple things here, and I do not have one tenth of what I had studied, so we'll do it next time. And since we took two Wednesdays and studied on the fruit of the Spirit in your life. When a person's filled with the Spirit, they will do this, 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 and this. All right, now, tonight, I want to take a study. This really should be preached probably Sunday morning and Sunday night, but on how a person can treat the Holy Spirit. How can you treat the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit tonight is the third person of the Trinity. He is not a force. He's a power, but he's more than just a power. He is a person. When you're talking about the Holy Spirit, you're talking about God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is inside of us. I don't know if you realize it or not, but the Holy Spirit lives inside of you if you're saved. So that means everywhere we go, everything we do, we take Him with us. That's one of the things that I'm going to talk about is grieving Him. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. Bible talks about Him. He's a dove, you know. And we're going to get into a lot of Scripture. I cannot believe I left my notes at home, but I guess the Lord had a reason for it. And I've got plenty to say without them, but I'll get it down just right for you next time. You can grieve. A dove can be scared away real easy. You take an old crow or an old buzzard or something, they'll just hang around. You shoot out and everything, they'll come right back. Right. But a dove, you can grieve, shoo away a dove real easy. Right. And that's a picture of the Holy Spirit. He can be grieved. And that's my first point tonight. He can be grieved. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 tonight. And I want you to take this serious. I want you to take this verse serious. Ephesians 4:30. You're a Christian. The Holy Spirit is inside you. He lives in you. We're not just kidding when we say, since Jesus came into my heart. That's not just a saying. That's the truth. The Lord lives inside our bodies. My goodness, think about that. He's in me right now. Look at Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, I personally believe 31 and 32 tells us ways not to grieve Him. All bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away with all malice, and being kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Grieving the Holy Spirit. I believe, how many of you have felt like you have grieved the Holy Spirit in your life? I have many, many times. You can almost tell it, can't you? You can almost say, boy, I grieved the Spirit right there. I'm not talking about quenching. I'll talk about that in a minute. Grieving the Spirit. Now, have you ever been somewhere and it just grieved you? Sure you have. I had a boy tell me, goes to our church. And I'm not telling y'all where to eat in restaurants. If I want to go there and eat, I'll go. I haven't, but if I want to, I will. I don't think it's sin. He said, have you been to this new Applebee's? And I said, no, I haven't. He said, it's awful. Don't go. He said, we went in there, and he said, I thought I was in a nightclub. Everybody sitting around drinking beer, music playing and everything. And he must have went on a Friday night or something, you know, and he said, it's awful. He said, I couldn't stand it, Brother Danny. And, you know, if you go into a place like that, you don't have to sit right there in the middle of all that. You can go over here and sit in the booth or somewhere. And you just like you go in a convenience store, you don't have to be a partaker at all. I'm not telling you where to eat or not to. It's between you and the Lord. I'd go there if I want to. Go during the daytime or something, you know. But he said it grieved me. Now that's, you know, if it grieves us, what must it be to the Spirit of the Lord? You say, well, that don't grieve me a bit. I tell you, you get right, really right with God, and it starts grieving you. I've done stuff before and not even felt guilty about it. And then really got on fire for God and got the good revival stuff, and then done the very same thing and felt, oh my goodness, this is awful. It's like the closer you get to the Lord, the easier it is to grieve your spirit.
That's right, man.
And it's not necessarily something that's even, you can be in a room full of people just gossiping and running their mouth and it grieves. It's not a sin to be sitting there, but it might grieve the spirit. I think a good illustration of something that grieves the spirit, here again, this is just me. I can't take you scripture that shows you this, but the music in a lot of churches, I mean, come on, y'all. I don't think everybody has to do it just like us. I know Brother Jason can't sing in every church, and I know Miss Desi can't play in every church, but y'all, come on. You know good and well. I mean, some of that stuff... I mean, tell me one time, he said, well, you can't take the Bible and say a certain beat. So, no, you can't. But that's why God gave you a brain.
Yeah, right.
You know, if you're honest and you're right with God, it's awful. It's awful. And I don't think everybody should sing just like we sing. I want to be broad-minded enough to say, if it's a little bit different, that's okay. But good night. Now, come on. I seen one somewhere where they was dancing, literally dancing, and showing nakedness and everything. And I thought, now come on now, that's what they was doing in Exodus when Moses come down off of the mountain. The music sometimes, I've been sitting in church all prayed up, ready to preach, and somebody get up and sing a high rock. I had a guy one time, get an illustration. We was in revival, and the Lord was moving, and there was people getting blessed. People left over here saying, boy, God's been good to me. Praise the Lord. And somebody shouting, somebody else saying, and God all got done. The preacher said, all right, it's time for the preaching. And I really believe. And I was all fired up and ready, and I started to get up. He said, come on, Brother Danny. And I started to get up, and this guy jumped up, and he came down the aisle and said, wait a minute. The Lord's put a song on my heart. And everybody just looked at him like, oh boy, here we go. This will take 15 minutes. You know, you hate to feel like that, but sometimes you know what I mean? Y'all, don't act too spiritual on me. You think, oh Lord, here goes old so-and-so. We don't have a lot of that goes on around here, but a lot of churches, they have old so-and-so that'll get up and say, well, this guy got up and he gave about a 10-minute testimony. And the longer he talked, the deader it got. And you say, well, how do you know he wasn't led of the Lord? Because of what he said. He said, I just want to sing a song by Nickelback. And Nickelback is not a Christian. I mean, I don't know what they are. Country? Ain't that your favorite group, Robert? Derek?
You
give them a CD. That's when I got right. What are they? Are they rock and
roll?
Oh, they're rock and roll. But anyway, he said, I got a song on my heart by Nickelback. And the Lord did not leave. And I mean, that thing was dead in 4 o'clock, and I got up there trying to resurrect it. I believe that stuff like that grieves the Spirit. We've all been in services. Now, I don't think we ought to sit here and judge each other on who's the Spirit and who ain't. We don't know if we are half the time. But We all have been in services where it's obvious somebody grieved the Spirit. Lord, I remember in them revivals, people get right, start getting right, and people say, I want to say something, grabbing that microphone. And sometimes I just say, no, let's wait. Because there'd be 10 people lined up wanting to grab that microphone. And I think, the devil sent them up here. That's what I think sometimes. Sometimes I do. I don't say that for sure, but I've seen it happen to where somebody will just kill the whole thing. And so you need to learn how to not to grieve the Spirit. I've heard preachers grieve the Spirit. I'm sure I've done it myself. I didn't mean to, but I'm sure I have. We've all been guilty of getting off track, getting the flesh. I heard a preacher preach recently, and he was doing good. And it's another, my opinion, you can believe whatever you want to. And people was amen and hallelujah. Boy, it was going good. And then all of a sudden, he got off and he started talking about a bunch of Greek. And he's got off on the Peter denied the Lord three times, you know. And then he said, now that first love was phileo or eros, you know. Those three Greek words for love. There's eros, that's where we get erotic love, fleshly love. And then there's phileo, that's brotherly love, like we all love each other. That's the Philadelphia city of brotherly love, phileo. And then there's agape. I'm sure you've all heard preachers say that. And it sounds real impressive. But the more he talked about that, the deader it got. And everybody's amen, hallelujah, praise God and everything. And what he was trying to do, he was trying to show you the three different words for love. Now, you people that listen to all the big shot preachers and the FM preachers, you hear them talk about that all the time. You got to know how to eat chicken and leave a bone in the plate. And that's bones.
Right.
That's bones. Amen. You know why Jesus asked Peter three times, did he love him? He denied him three times right before that. One for each denial. You don't have to give five different meanings to the word love. He said, Peter, do you love me? He didn't say, do you love me like a brother? He don't love me erotically. You crazy?
No.
That ain't what Jesus asked Peter. Say amen right there. But anyway, it grieved the Spirit. And it seemed like he was getting confused. And the more he talked that Greek, the deader it got. And I got a Greek dictionary at home. I have a Strong's Concordance with Hebrew and Greek dictionary in it. I can take any word in that Bible and bring y'all a Greek word for it next Wednesday or Sunday morning and get up here and say it. And you know who it's going to help? Nobody. You all speak English. You need it in English. And thank God we got it in English. If we ain't got it in English, we better all learn Greek. That's right. We better all learn Greek. I believe we got it in English, buddy.
That's right.
If I didn't, I'd find whatever I thought was God's word and learn it, and then I'd get up here and teach you. Now, Jesus meant one thing the first question, and he meant another thing the next question, and he meant another thing the third question. I'd do that, but I don't believe it means that.
Nope.
I believe you use the Bible. The King James Bible is its own dictionary and its own interpreter. And if you find something you can't understand, you keep reading, and it'll give you the explanation for it if you keep reading it up. And if you can't get it, the Lord ain't ready for you to have that yet. He's probably give you a bunch you won't live by already, and he ain't going to give you nothing else till you start living by that other. Ain't that right? Don't quench it. Don't grieve it. Don't grieve it by your preaching. Don't grieve it by our singing. Don't grieve it. I've seen people get up to sing, and the way they're dressed grieves the Spirit.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't look right. That's why I tell people, get up, you sing in the choir, dress decent, dress modest, dress like you're going to church. I didn't even have none of this in my notes, none of this. But anyway, don't do it. All right? Anybody want to help me on that? Go ahead, bro.
I've got a very complicated question.
Okay.
How do you know? And this is just me talking from experience down through the years, because you can get to the point to where I'm saying sometimes it's grieving your spirit, sometimes it's guilt from the devil,
yep.
And then sometimes you really grieve the Spirit. And I found out I can tell, almost tell when it's the Spirit of God, when it's just something guilt or whatever.
Yeah.
And if guilt sometimes can just be unhealthy,
yeah,
it can rob you of joy in your Christian life.
Sure can.
How do you know the difference?
Well, I don't know, brother. I don't know. I struggle with the same thing.
I think that still small voice the Bible talks about. And he said, my sheep know my voice.
Yeah.
And knowing which one I can just shout the victory and go on and say, you know what, that's just the devil trying to fight me.
Yeah.
But that's a hard line, because some young Christians wind up saying, I didn't witness enough today, or yeah, I didn't do this enough.
Yeah.
They're not gripping the Spirit. They're just letting guilt be gathered.
Right. Well, the Spirit of God is a gentleman, and he woos you. You know? He's not a mean or smart aleck like the devil. Well, you ain't no good. You're not no count. You ain't got no business. You know, the devil is like his attitude is different. But that's a good question. I don't know. I don't claim I always know. I don't. I know I don't. I know I've been wrong. You ever thought the Lord told you to do something, come to find out you know for sure He didn't? I mean, that happens to everybody once in a while. But we are not to deliberately grieve the Spirit. The Bible said if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. And so, my goodness, if I feel bad about it, surely, you know, think of how it must make the Spirit of God. That starts getting down there where we live, and you just take it for whatever it's worth. But that book says, grieve not the Spirit. All right, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, and let's look at another one. I got seven of them, and the way you treat the Holy Spirit. Go ahead, bro.
Before you get out of that section, the 23rd verse over here in the same chapter says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's just like everything else. You've got to keep being renewed.
That's true. That's right.
I'm reading in this stuff here. That I worry more about than anything. But talking about the words just now, when I was in Appalachian University using Hebrews 9:22, I couldn't find a one of that bunches. I don't want to say jerks up there, but you quote the thing to them, and I finally had to sit down and explain Hebrews 9:22 as the forgiveness of sins, not the remission of sins. And there's no forgiveness, but they couldn't understand what the word remission meant.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's the same way about fear. Same way about fear. They, you know, the Bible says fear the Lord, and on professors them schools said, oh, it don't really mean fear. Because they think that means God's going like it, you know. But it does mean fear. Fear means fear. You're supposed to be afraid of Him. If you're not afraid of God, there's something wrong with you. You say, well, you shouldn't be afraid of your father. I was afraid of my daddy when I was doing something I shouldn't. Amen? And I'm afraid of God when I'm doing something I shouldn't. There's a respect and an awe and a reverential fear that you have of God that is healthy. Our generation's crazy. They think anything negative is bad for you, and that's not true. Go out there and take the negative off your post to your battery. You ain't going nowhere. You got to have negativity. You have to. This is right. This is wrong. You know, people can't even say no. People can't even say no no more. You know? You ask them. Ask them. Everybody's up with the politically correct. Did you go to town today? I did not. Where in the world all that kind of talk come from? What's wrong with no? Have you noticed? I've noticed y'all. Some of y'all picked that up. You get that in my world. Did you go do this today? I did not. We used to say no. But that sounds too negative, don't it? Did you get your hair fixed today? I did. That's weird. People used to not say that the last few years. Yes, ma'am. Do they really? You're not supposed to use the word no. Now, who says this? The word. You know how they redirected us? To the principal's office. Redirect them. Is that how you do yours, Brother Dusty?
No.
I redirect them. All right. You go right in there and bend over. What if you say clean up your room, and they say I don't want to, you redirect them. You can eat ice cream or clean up your room. Are you give them a choice? Is that what they tell you to do?
They're pushing it big time in the school system. When I was working in the public school system for 5 years and in an alternative school, and you know that's all kids with the you know, they all had about five different diagnoses and individualized education plans and all that kind of stuff, but they had counselors and stuff there with doctorate degrees, and, you know, they pushed that positive behavior support.
Yeah.
You know, no kind of
negativity
or you know, they, you know, when I first started working there, son, if a kid didn't do what we told them, they tried to get angry, we'd snatch them up, restrain them, have them in the floor, you know. and when they came in, they were like, no, we don't, you know.
They say you're teaching them violence. You're teaching them to, if you hit them, you're teaching them to hit. But when my principal, man, he wore me out. We bent over, bam, bam. And when he got through, I didn't want to hit nobody. I didn't want to bother nobody. I went down and sat in my seat just like this and didn't open my mouth. So that, you know how you know that's right? You know it's right two ways. Number one, it's biblical. And number two, it works. But it's too late for this generation. It's too late. This generation's shot. The toilet's already been flushed on our country. It's just going around. That's an awful illustration, but that's the way it feels. That's the way it feels like. It's already been flushed, brother. Here's another one. If you like this one better, the Titanic has hit the iceberg. We've hit the iceberg. It's just a matter of time. It's going down, y'all. You say, well, that's negative. It sure is. That's the power of negative thinking. Because you look at things right. Can God send a revival? Yes. Could God save our nation? Yes. He can do anything. Is our nation going to repent? I doubt it seriously. You can have local revivals. You can have church revivals. You can have individual revivals. But our nation officially has took a stand against the Bible now.
Right.
And that ain't going to change. The same-sex marriage, the abortion, all that stuff. You got, a nation don't repent once it goes like that.
Right.
Wouldn't it be great if America did? It sure would. I'd shout and say I was wrong, but it never has happened in history. Nations don't repent. By the way, for some of you coming up with, I got a text from Eugene up in New York, and people talking about the election they had in Israel yesterday for old Benjamin Netanyahu, the guy that came over here and made that speech the other day, and I reckon he has won. Is that right?
Yeah,
is that official? Because I told you, I hadn't heard the news today. They were saying last night he claimed he had won. But now, somehow or another, it takes him for a week to counter votes or something over there. But that's a blessing. It's a great blessing that he's remained in office. Thank God that's an answer to prayer. But anyway, what I was talking about negativity, You have to have both. Probably two-thirds of the Bible is negative because we're living in a sin-cursed world. Negative thinking's good for you. You better learn how to think negative. When you go out and say there's a truck coming by, you learn, I think negative. Don't go out there. No. No. No means no. It protects you. You don't drink poison. You don't do foolish things. Because of that. But anyway, I don't know how we got off on this. Anybody else, right quick, before I show you my next one. 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's look at this one right quick. And this one is quench, not the spirits. It's I don't know the difference you'd say between quench and grieve, but I know quench, to me, I looked up the definition of it, and I wrote down three of them at home, would be like pouring water on a fire. Quench. The fire will not be quenched. You know that scripture. Inhale, will not be quenched. So a person that would quench the spirit, it would be a deliberate act of just saying, hey, shut this down. Preachers are guilty of that. And we're all guilty of that. And I've seen preachers where the Lord starts blessing and preachers shut it down because they're afraid it's going to get out of control. Afraid something crazy might happen. And something crazy usually does happen. But people don't go to sleep. Sometimes we need to get that. Quench not the spirit. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:19. That's a command of God. Quench not the spirit. People say, I'm gonna pour cold water on him. And many ladies have got right with the Lord and went home and their husband just poured cold water on them. Many teenagers have got on fire for God and said, Mama, I want to go to the youth revival. I want to go there. And Mama just poured cold water on them. And a lot of times in our own lives, we'll do that I'll never forget when I first got saved. My hair was still long, and I still listened to rock music for a while. Excuse me. And I was sort of one of these old smart aleck, 18 years old, and I tried to argue and said, "Well, you can't say. What does the Bible say? How long is long? You know, all that kind of stuff. How long is it before it's? How long does it have to be? Where does it say? How, you know, and you know good and well. Anybody that talks like that, just make an excuse. They know good and well, deep down inside, what's right and what's wrong. Amen. And one night we was in church. And the power of God came down, and people was getting right and crying, and oh my goodness! I said, "Lord, I love you, Lord. I want to live." I mean, I just give myself to Him, and I mean, He filled me up. I walked out there, I felt like I was walking that high off of the floor. And I went out and got in my car, and I crammed my tape. That was back when we had tapes, man. 8-track, not cassettes. And I had a Grand Funk Railroad tape, and I crammed it in my car, and it started going. I pulled out of the church parking lot, and it felt like I went, and it hit me. It hit me. I thought, that's what's wrong with that music. It's like you're a balloon, and it pops you. Yeah, and has anybody ever had anything like that happen? You just go from one atmosphere to the other, and you start seeing it then. Oh, my goodness. This is what's wrong with this, huh? It lets the air out of your spiritual balloon. And that's what I've said ever since then. You ain't going to stay right with God and listen to dirty music. It's impossible. Not if you listen to it on purpose. If you're subjected to it and you can't do nothing about it, God might protect you for a while. But you ain't going to listen to it on purpose and stay full of the Holy Ghost. Can't listen to somebody totally against God and listen to them preach all the time. That's like going go to satanic church every Sunday. See how long you stay right. Or whenever they have it. But but anyway, I learned that you can quench the spirit. All right, who's willing to admit it? I admitted mine. I've been 100 times since then. I'm sure. Anybody can ask a question or talk about quenching the spirit. Have you ever felt led like the Lord would have you to do something and real excited about it? And your husband or wife just go, shh. No stories, please. But that happens. That happens to everybody, probably. Your husband or wife, oh, God ain't telling you that, hush. You know, and maybe he is, maybe he ain't, I don't know. But that does happen to all of us at one time or another. Or your kids, or your mother, or dad. I've seen a lot of young people discouraged big time. But I do believe that when he talks about quenching the spirit, he's talking about us as individuals, us quenching him in our own life. Not you to me or me to you.
Me and Dan was at Hardy's the other day, and this fella come in, and he had a pair of boots on and tape was around him. And I felt like I was supposed to give him $20. I don't know why, but I just thought about it. And then he pulled out a phone that looked like it was about $300 and started playing on it.
Yeah.
And then I thought, maybe not.
Amen.
And then Nathaniel, I told Nathaniel, I think And I said, I thank him. He said, no. And then started to get up and go to the truck. But he's real calm. And, you know, and he said, if you'd heard the way he's talking to his son a minute ago, you wouldn't feel that way. So I didn't give him any money. But I didn't know if it was me or the Lord, you know.
Oh, yeah. I've been through that 1,000 times. 1,000 times. Sometimes I've had to make decisions about a church. I'll give you one. There's a preacher who's needing help right now. And I, coming to hair, I saw him Monday night camp meeting, and I coming to hair of asking him to come preach tonight to help him. Maybe that's why I forgot my notes. He was supposed to be preaching, not me tonight. But anyway, I thought, well, Lord, do you want me? And then I got to thinking. Every time I let somebody preach, somebody fusses. Somebody gets upset. Brother Danny, if I'd have known you wasn't going to be here, and shows their maturity. And then somebody will say something else. And somebody will say something else. I thought, well, maybe, we got to get ready for you, Thrally. And so I said, well, I'm going to call him. And I did call and couldn't get him last night, so I let it go. And then I left my notes at home. Maybe, was I in the will of God? I have no idea. But I believe I was because my heart was right. That's all you can do. You can't guarantee every step you take, every word you say is in the perfect will of God. I've heard them guys. We all know certain preachers. The perfect will of God. I don't know about that. I believe you can try and keep your heart right. I didn't deliberately sin, I can tell you that. So I know God blessed me either way. But you can't, I did not deliberately grieve the Spirit. I tried my best to obey Him. As long as you do that, you'll be all right. Unless you're going against a clear scripture. Anybody else, right quick? Yeah, I don't want you to say that. I did hear an illustration. If it's one I'm thinking about, no, I don't want you to say that. I felt like the Lord told me to do something, and I didn't do it, and then I felt like He told me again, and then I didn't do it. No, don't say that. It wasn't nothing bad.
It's got to be worse. No.
No, I ain't telling you. Ain't none of your business, bless God. Yours either, hush. I'm just kidding. No. Actually, I done thought about that, Kelly. The other day I did feel like the Lord told me to do something. You ever felt like the Lord told you something? Like He said He felt like you ought to give that guy $20 and He didn't. And He felt again and He didn't. And then I said, well, Lord, if that was really You that told me that, let such and such, and such and such happened.
Oh, Lord.
I said, oh, no. So still, I don't know. I didn't do nothing that it was against Scripture. It's just a personal choice that I made on a split second. So I didn't get drunk or nothing like that. Anybody else it starts getting hairy when you start getting down there to personal little decisions that not scriptural, but quench not the Spirit. I know good and well when I've got mad at my kids and smarted off to them, my wife, church members, snapped, said something I should, and I knew right then I grieved the Spirit. I knew it right then. And right then when we got to be man enough, say, okay, I'm sorry. Or woman enough or whatever. To your kids, if you never apologize to your kids, you might need to, because we all need to once in a while.
I don't think there's ever been a time in my Christian life from the time I got saved when I started to gossip or gossip that I didn't feel like I was grieving the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Every time I felt like the Lord said, don't do it.
Yeah.
And it's always that still small voice. And sometimes I did it and sometimes I'd stop. But either way, I've always felt that.
Let me tell you a story. Good night. It's almost time to quit, y'all. Let me tell you a story right quick, and I'm going to get into this next time more. Ralph Sexton Sr. wrote a little book called Camp Meetings, Churches, and Revival That Are Thieves, Rogues, and Ripoff Artists. This is Ralph Sr., Ralph Sexton's daddy. He's been dead now for a long time. And I knew Ralph. And Ralph always liked me. I mean, first time I had him come and marry him, he was probably 70 years old, and I was 20 something, and he'd put his hand on me and say, Danny, don't let nobody take this church away from you. You hang in there, son. You come over to Asheville. And I did go to Asheville, and he took me out to eat one day, and he always liked me, and he was a great man. And old Ralph wrote a book talking about, y'all hear all these times about preachers doing churches wrong? This whole book's about churches doing preachers wrong. Oh, good night. I wish y'all ever. Oh, good night. You wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it. And he told about, he got some illustrations from Billy Connoy and J. Harold Smith, and some of those preachers that was full-time evangelist. You be a full-time evangelist, you meet some doozies. That's a Greek word. That means some weirdos. He said he went to this revival, preached out in Kansas somewhere, bought his plane ticket. His plane ticket cost him $500. Went and preached a revival in a big church. They took up an offering every night. And when he left, they gave him a check for $200. He paid a $500 plane ticket, bought his food, lost a week of where he went in the hole. And if you know anything about how churches operate, that's not right for a church to come and use a man all week and take advantage of his work, him labor and prayer, and not. The Bible teaches that a church is supposed to be good to the pastor, or the, in our case, like an evangelist coming in here. And if you say anything like that, people say, oh, he's one of them, he's preaching for money. No, it's not that at all. You just cannot pay your bills without money.
That's right. Yeah,
and you cannot pay your bills if you're driving all over the country.
Right.
I had Bill Duncan. Some of y'all know Bill up there in Marion. Bill helped me a lot when I first started preaching. I wasn't preaching enough to be full time in the ministry, but I was preaching too much to keep a job. I'd be out every other week, and I'd say, I'm going if God opens the door, but I didn't have enough money to pay my bills. And old Bill let me work every other week in between revivals and stuff, or 2 weeks, and then to help me get through. And he done me a great favor. But anyway, he told about this one church. These big churches. I don't ever preach in churches that big, like 1,200 people. And he said, big, huge church. He said the pastor got up every night and said, now we're going to help this man in his ministry. Everything that you give goes to him. 5 nights. He said, he said one night he preached on the Holy Spirit, and he said he preached and a bunch of people started coming to the altar and wanting God to fill them with the Holy Spirit, and the pastor got up over here and stopped them and said, okay, all right, everybody be seated right now. I think he thinks the pastor was scared that people might, you know, pass out or somebody speak in tongues or something. He was afraid that it might get out of hand, and so he stopped it and made them all sit down. And he said he felt major contention between him and his pastor. And he said he didn't take him out to eat. He said we didn't fellowship. He said it was awful the rest of the week. He said the last night, pastor called him into his office, and he said, here's your check. And he just said, I just stuck it in my pocket. Didn't even look. He said, you want to look at that? And he said, no, whatever y'all give me is fine. I'm happy with. I'm just out here serving the Lord. God knows my needs, and he'll take care of it. It was like, I think it's $187. Come to find out, they took up $6,000 that week. Gave him $187. And the pastor said, are you mad? And he said, no, I'm not. He said, God knows my needs, and he'll take care of me. In other words, if y'all can live with it, I can live without it. And he just walked out, had to get his own way to the airport, get home. And needless to say, he never heard from him again. About 3 months later, he heard that pastor died, fell over dead with a heart attack. And he said, there was something bad wrong there.
Yeah.
Bad wrong. He said, you could feel it. Man didn't even want people to be filled with the Spirit. Maybe I can tell you that story better next time, but I got some other ones I want to talk to you about the Spirit of God. You can grieve him. You can quench him. Remember, he's inside you. He's the Lord inside you. And I'm going to show you a man next time in Acts chapter 5 where it said Satan filled his heart. People say, well, the devil can't get in me because Jesus is in me. That ain't true. The devil can get your fingers, he can get your eyes, he can get your ears, he can get your thoughts, he can get your hand. There's one thing a devil can't get, and that's your soul. But he can sure get a hold of your flesh. And if you don't believe that, your doctrine's wrong, buddy. Look at in 1 Corinthians 5, they turned one man over to the devil for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit would be saved in the day of judgment. But anyway, that's a whole other study. Anybody want to say anything? Help me out here before we go. All right, what I want you to do tonight is you remember the Holy Spirit's in you. When you go to work tomorrow, the Spirit of God's in you. When you go home tonight, the Spirit of God's in you. Don't grieve him. Don't quench him. Let's stand. Amen. We'll go visiting Saturday morning, y'all. And don't miss Sunday school. Sunday morning. Don't miss it. We're really excited about Sunday school. We got New Year's Eve. What do you call him, Easter? Sunrise. Sunrise service on Easter Sunday morning, and we're going to do something different. So the women's wanting breakfast. Dottie's shower will be this coming Sunday. This coming Sunday evening, and we're going to try to have choir practice. Is that all right? 4 o'clock shower, and we will have choir practice for the one. You know, you can still have the shower too. Same time we're going.